Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome everyone to the Storybox. This is the place to be if you're a lover of stories, learning new and interesting things, growing abundantly, and if you want to improve your overall life. My name is Jay Fanzen, and I've made it my purpose to unbox and share the amazing stories from people of every profession all over the world. I'm grateful that you're here today. Let's journey into the story box together and hear more about whose story will be unboxed today. Alrighty, everybody. We are changing gears a little bit and going from the hard-hitting, challenging episode of Tim Ballard to the more upbeat and fun episode of Ryan Serhant. Now, for all my real estate friends out there, salespeople, this is an episode that you don't want to miss out on because Ryan Serhant is one of the most successful and well-known real estate brokers in the world. After a decade leading one of New York City's top-ranked real estate teams, he founded Serhant, the first brokerage designed for the marketplace of tomorrow. In addition, Ryan is an entrepreneur, producer, public speaker, best-selling author of two books now, which we'll get into very shortly, and star of multiple TV shows. Expansion always in all ways, which is a pretty cool saying. On September 15, 2008, the subprime mortgage industry collapsed. Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy, and a 24-year-old Ryan Serhant began his first day in real estate after struggling as an actor and hand model, believe it or not. Over the next 12 years, what began as a job to cover rent and basic living expenses would become a career, a passion, and a catalyst for sustained growth and success. After learning the nuances of the industry as a solo agent, Ryan created the Serhant team. He expanded his team every year for 9 years and until it consisted of more than 60 experienced agents and marketing support staff. Along the journey, he formed the Serhant team, a new development group, and swiftly established it as a leader in the new construction sales. Ranked the number one sales team in New York by the Wall Street Journal for 3 years straight, and among the top teams in the nation for the better part of over a decade, the Serhant team has done over $4 billion in sales, has sold more than 80 new development projects across New York, Los Angeles, and Miami, and has broken price per square foot records across the city. In 2020, last year, Ryan founded Serhant, a new brokerage designed for the marketplace of tomorrow, with in-house production and branding capabilities and a tech-powered innovation platform. Serhant has revolutionized the traditional brokerage model. He's not only a media, he's also a media mogul. Ryan is best known for his Bravo Emmy-nominated million-dollar listing, New York. It's spin-off show, Sell It Like Serhant, and for his appearance in the film While We're Young alongside Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts, and Adam Driver. In 2018, Ryan started his own entertainment and media company, Serhant Media Group, which has evolved into Serhant Studios in 2020. Serhant Studios is an in-house marketing arm and production team, or production company, I should say, for Ryan's real estate and television endeavors. To date, content produced by Serhant Studio averages over 100 million impressions per month, which is absolutely insane. Ryan is building a community for a better tomorrow. And like I was saying in the beginning, he is a times two best-selling author. His new book, Big Money Energy, How to Rule at Work, Dominate at Life, and Make Millions. Big Money Energy is a blueprint for anyone who wants to learn to earn a better income, stand out at job interviews, shine at social events, shoot straight to the top at work, or crush first dates with cool confidence like it's already a date number 21. You can go and get your copy now pretty much anywhere it's sold. I did this interview or this had this conversation with Ryan a couple of months ago now before his book was released. So I wanted to hold off this episode to release it in line with his book launch. And my goodness, did we have a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this conversation. So I hope that you guys do and get something from it. So please share this one around if you do enjoy it and get something from it. Ryan is an awesome human being. He's got a lot of wisdom and advice out there for all of you people that want to be successful at pretty much life in general. And it's not the kind of success that you think just because he's got a lot of money, but you'll soon find out very, very shortly. So please don't forget to subscribe, and you can watch the full video now on YouTube as well. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. All the links are in the show notes below as well. So with that being said, my friends, time to support and bring out the big energy, the big money energy in particular, how we can rule at work, dominate at life, and make billions as we go along by diving into the story box and hearing the incredible story of Ryan Serhant.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And I just got to say, I love everyone in Australia. I love the Australian brokers, the Australian entrepreneurs. I love the way you all do everything. And it's an honor to be here.
Thank you so much, man, for making the time. I know we had a bit of a hiccup with time zone differences and that before. That's my bad.
13 hours is a tricky time difference. You know, you got to like do multiplication, a little division. There's some algebra in there to figure out what the time. It's a whole thing.
Tell me about it, man. I was stressing out the other day, to be honest with you, because I missed it. That was my bad. And I'm like, no.
No, it was our bad. You wrote in there the right time. That was our fault.
No, man. Grateful you're here. Before we dive into your backstory and how and why you got started doing what you do now, I have one question that I normally love asking people, which is, what does success look like to you?
Success to me is achieving realistic goals, right? It is measured, right? Because anything can be successful. Like, I just drank that bottle of water successfully. You know, I find it far more rewarding to think about achievements than I do thinking about what I've been successful at and not been successful at. It's also really difficult to measure success because it's always relative, and most of it is in hindsight, right? Like 2010 was a successful year 10 years ago. I didn't know it at the time. And 2011 and 12, it didn't feel that successful, but looking back now, it was. But measuring success by reaching achievements that you set for yourself in the form of realistic goals, like that is success to me.
I love that, man. What is a goal or achievement that you've set for yourself that you think might take you a while to actually achieve right now?
Start my own real estate company by 2020. Mm. And I did it in 2020. And make Serhant synonymous with real estate sales all over the world. You know, there are certain brands that are household names globally. And, you know, I don't need people to think of me in the form of shoes or cars, but if someone's thinking about real estate, I want our brand name to be thought of. Because that's the hardest part, right? That's the foot in the door, and the door is the mind. And so if I can get the name inside of the mind, you know, that's step one, and step one is always the hardest.
How in the world were you able to create your own brokerage? Because if people have seen this video that you put out when you announced that you're starting your own brokerage, which I have to say is pretty creative and incredible, how in the world did you end up getting it to be what it is today? Like, what was the process that you needed to follow? Was it, how long did it take you?
12 years. To be honest, you know, I'm not starting a brand new company really, right? Like I built a real estate team, sold real estate and built relationships and built a brand and a following for 12 years. Mm. And I'm now taking that and I kind of rebranded it, you know, new graphics, new logos, new websites, all that stuff, you know, new business plan, new locations, new systems, new protocols, new legal documents, new insurance, new people. Like there's a lot of new stuff, and all of that was a lot of work. And that all happened this year. Mm. So all of that was a heavy undertaking, and we're still doing it. Mm. But the building of the business, like we're already up and running on our feet just because we know so many people and they all want to sell. And, you know, my goal was to launch the company in a way that people would pay attention to it and they would know it. So between the Wall Street Journal and YouTube and social, you know, we really choreographed how we were going to do it to make the biggest splash. And that brought in clients and brought in new people and gave us something to talk about.
Mm. I want to get to why real estate in a moment, but I'm curious about what has been the biggest challenge about starting your own brokerage, about redesigning things and making it synonymous with Wall Street Journal and all these other places. What's been the most challenging thing?
Finding good people is hard because there's money involved, there's risk, there's time, there's a lot of trust, right? Like I have less and less time every day for more and more things, you know, and I've got to stay as focused as I possibly can to build business and to make business. I mean, that's really it. Like those are the two things that I have to do: build brand, continue brand, find business, sell business. Everything else is handled by other people. And there's a lot of trust that goes into that, and it's hard. And so, you know, and then time goes by and you're just like, fine, I'll do it by myself, or we'll just do it. We'll figure it out. And it just gets more frustrating. And so, you know, that's been tough. But on top of that, starting in the middle of a pandemic when New York City was shut down and you couldn't move, that was also pretty hard.
Mm.
It's still, you still can't go into a restaurant really. Like they just closed schools down in most of the boroughs today again. Like it's crazy.
World, you know? Different, really crazy world. And I think what you've been able to achieve in such a crazy world is admirable and very inspirational. So kudos to you, man.
Thanks.
What do you love the most about real estate in the first place? Like what has it changed for you over time? Like do you ever get sick of it?
I didn't get into the business because I love real estate. Like I don't get when I go into apartments, I'm not like, oh my God, the moldings, yeah, the floors. Like I don't have marble memorized. Like I work with a lot of agents who really, really love houses and interior design. And, you know, they would be builders if they could have been. They really, really love that. That's not for me. And I love selling. I'm a salesperson at heart. I love making deals. I love the puzzles. I love putting them together. I love creating situations and figuring them out. And I love building, right? And doing more. I think like when I was a little kid, I was always the one like, you know, building the Lego castle and then getting more Legos to build on top of that castle because I just wanted to make it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know, it would always crash in on itself and fall over. And I think you can do that in real estate, right? And you can do it relatively risk adverse because straight real estate sales does not have inventory. Your inventory is your marketing, is your people, is your staff, payroll, but you don't have, these aren't my houses I'm selling, right? I'm selling houses for other people and taking a fee when I'm successful. That's it.
Mm. Has there ever been a, like now compared to before, has there ever been a sale that you haven't been able to go through, like push to the finish line?
Yeah, like every day. deals die all the time, especially now. There's fear in the marketplace. There's a volatile political environment that we're in. We've got a presidential election coming up in November that's very insane. There's a lot, right? There's a virus here. There's a lot of people saying that New York is over, which it's not. There's a lot going on. And so it's tricky, right? It's tricky. And so we lose deals all the time. Like there's been days where we've lost $70, $80 million in deals in one day. And it's something that sucks and you just sort of got to get over with it and save what you can, move on to the next one, on to the next one, on to the next one.
That mindset, man, I'm curious, how does someone create that kind of mindset when it comes to like an $80 million deal falling through?
There's a lot of ways. I mean, one, honestly, and obviously it's experience. The more deals you lose, you know, just like a doctor, right? I talk to ER doctors who are clients. I'm like, how do you deal with someone dying in front of you? Where like, don't you go home? You're like, man, if I had just done one other chest compression, if I had just given them one other drug, isn't it kill you? Isn't it eat you up inside? And they're like, you get used to it. Like you get numb and you don't take it personally as part of the job. And that's messed up. Like I'm just a real estate broker. Okay. I don't have to go tell people that their house burned down ever. So you get used to it and you realize it's part of the business and that, you know, and the longer you do this, the longer you realize to look at your career and not just look at the daily transactions and jobs and everything. Like look at the year, right? What did you do last year? That's better than looking and saying, okay, well, how was 3 Mondays ago? Yeah, bad. Okay. But how were the last 2 Mondays? Good. All right. Mm-hmm. So such is life, right? You're always, you know, just like the greatest sports players in the world. Like they, you know, the, like Michael Jordan, you know, basketball player here. He missed more shots than he made, but you know about the ones he made. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't make movies. They don't make TV shows and documentaries about the shots he missed because no one cares. Right. And you don't make shots that you don't take. So mm-hmm. you got to try and swing and see what you can do. Try to put deals together. Even if they fall apart, at least you tried and did your best. Mm-hmm. Mechanically though, and logistically, I guess a tidbit and tactic I could give you is one of the things I learned early on about getting over loss and like losing deals and bad days and stuff was you write down 2 lists, right? You get a piece of white paper. So writing down lists also helps you breathe. You calm down. You start thinking. On the left side of the paper, you draw a line down the middle. Left side of the paper, you write down everything bad, okay? Everything bad because it's on your mind right now. Everything bad that's on your mind. Like what just happened? What's angry? How much does your life just suck? Write it all down. Every single thing that's bad. On the right side of the paper, you write down everything that's good, okay? And you gotta be honest with yourself though. Don't just be like nothing. No. You're alive. That's line one. You're breathing and it doesn't hurt you to breathe. You went to the bathroom and it didn't hurt you to the bathroom, right? You have 2 arms. You have 2 legs, right? Your family's there. Oh, you actually saw a movie last night. That was funny. That's good. Oh, your breakfast this morning was actually pretty fucking good. Oh, you did that other deal. And then this, if you're honest with yourself, the side of the paper that has all the good things always is longer than the side of the paper that has all the bad things. Mm-hmm. And in the amount of time it'll take you to write that list, you will have thought about it and you will start breathing better and you'll realize that everything is relative and yes, it sucks, but it's gonna be okay.
Mm. I say that all the time, like with everything that I've been through in life, and I've actually been in real estate and sales for most of my life, and you know, having deals not go through and feeling like, you know, I'm never gonna make another deal again and all that sort of stuff, that fear that people can associate themselves with things happening, but ultimately everything is going to be okay. I love how you said that. And the list thing is a good piece of advice too. I'm curious though, Ryan, do you have any regrets?
Do I have any? I mean, I don't know. You know, life is all about the choices you make, right? Whether you believe in God or not, you have to believe in free will. Mm-hmm. I can make a decision to go left or go right, and no one else is telling me to do that, you know? And so there's a quote that I live by, which I think you can see in my business and all the crazy things that we do and how we do so much all the time and we work so hard. And, you know, I'd rather regret the things I did than the things I never tried.
Yeah.
And so I don't really have any regret. I mean, listen, I've hurt people by accident. I've said mean things. I've gotten angry. Like do I regret doing those things? Sure. But they happened and I learned from them. And if I hadn't done them, I wouldn't have learned from them. And then I would have done them with someone else. So like, I'd rather regret the things I did than the things I never tried.
Mm. What would you say has been the worst piece of advice you've ever received from someone?
Don't trust the Aussies.
Why not?
Just kidding. No one ever gave me that advice. I'm just fucking with you. The worst piece of advice I ever got. Don't do $1 million listing. It'll ruin your career. Said everybody. But at the time, I didn't really have a career. So I didn't really understand that one. But I get it. Like, people were concerned. But I knew then, which I know now, just the more people who know what you sell, the better. Like, this is a, whether I'm marketing my brand or our listings or both at the same time, this is a business of attention. And the more attention I have from clients and agents, and the more attention I can get my properties, the more real estate I'm going to sell and the bigger I can build our brokerage. So it's never really seemed like a bad idea, which is why we created a separate media network. And we work with YouTube, and we created Listed, which is the first digital real estate media network of its kind. And if you go to youtube.com/listed, the channel is there, and it'll premiere with its first two shows out of seven next week. And they star real estate experts that work here, team, and they're funny shows, they're entertaining. And it is basically, you know, an early TV channel, you know, 20 years ago. And we're going to watch it grow and feed it, and it's going to be awesome. And so, you know, we're doing a lot of interesting things now that are fun like that.
I can't wait to see it, man. Like, your videos on YouTube, they're funny, they're entertaining. And I think having an actual show, you've got to watch it here in Sydney, Australia. I see it as an absolute honor and privilege to be able to speak to you and ask you all these kinds of questions that I've always wanted to ask you. One in particular, greatness and achieving greatness. Like, you've achieved so many amazing things in your life. Do you believe that there is a specific metric that in order to actually achieve greatness, or what do you believe greatness actually is?
I think greatness is something that's better than good, that is, again, just like success, right? It is a relative understanding of achievements. So that, you know, if you felt you did a great job, then you did a great job. But I feel like, you know, greatness also is something that is misused a lot, right? Like, for example, someone tells you you did a great job when you really didn't. Or a father tells their kid, you know, you did great in school today when they really didn't. Or they did a great job cleaning up their room, or you're really great. You know, people overuse that word all the time. And if you really, really understand the definition of the word, and I apologize for all the sirens. I'm in New York City, and people are on fire here every day. So, you know, if you go by the true definition of the word great, even the word awesome, like, it's impossible to even comprehend. But I think people should try to be great and to be as great as they possibly can, but know that there is more than just great. I don't know if that's an answer to your question, but that's what came to my head.
There's more than just great. I think that's a solid piece of advice, man. A couple more questions for you, because I know your time is very valuable. Who has been, or who has made the most impactful, who has been the most impacting in your life, whether it's financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, you name it?
I'd say my dad, you know, really taught me how to be an adult when I was seven. You know, taught me the power of hard work and the value of the dollar and how to, you know, value myself, and how not to be a baby, and to suck it up and to move on. And those are tough lessons to learn. And I think most people learn them when they're too old. And, you know, he forced my brothers and I to learn it when we were really, really young. My wife is a good rock for me as well. And, she's also a tough one, I surround myself with people who are just relatively tough on me. I don't know why. I feel like I need it. You know, like I can't surround myself with people who baby me because I won't grow anywhere. Like I remember, you know, in college, I was a theater major because I really loved theater and I wanted to do that. So when I moved to New York, I did theater for 2 years and I wanted to be on Broadway and do movies and all that. And it didn't work out. And I got into real estate and such is life. But the theater professor I have, her name was Carol, and she was so mean, but she would get the best out of people because she would push them to great, right? When everyone else was okay accepting good, she would push them to be great. And it was amazing to see what she would do because everyone gets so angry until they realize what they just accomplished, right? Like she just pushed them to cry on stage and they've never been able to act with real tears. She just pushed them to inhabit that character's body so well that they lost themselves in it, you know, like real things that actors, like the best actors can do. And sometimes people just need to be pushed and to see what they're capable of. And, you know, I think, and she also had a pretty profound effect on my life, especially in like my formative college years when you're an adult, but not yet. You're just told you're an adult by your age. And you're really trying to figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And it was important to have somebody that was tough. So three very tough people to me are you know, people that have helped along the way.
You believe that being tough is the sign of a great leader?
I think being tough, but fair. No, I think great leaders, and one of the problems I have right now with the political landscape that we're in is leadership is supposed to lead. You're supposed to lead by definition. You lead, you make choices. The choices aren't supposed to appease everybody because that's fucking physically impossible. You make decisions, you move forward, and you do what you believe is in the best interest of the people, right? To get us to the best spot. And it's not going to be right for everybody. And you've got to have strong opinions. Maybe your opinions are wrong and you have to be willing to listen and then change your mind. Like I have opinions all the time and I think I'm right, but then people convince me that I'm wrong. And all right, I'm wrong. I didn't know that piece of information before. I'm glad I now know that. And there's so many leaders now that are being led instead of just leading, and it is fucked up. And it's like this weird reverse, you know, school, like class warfare and, you know, popularity contests where everyone's so nervous and they're so sensitive and they're so politically correct and you can't do this and you can't do that. And oh my goodness. And that they're letting the people lead them instead of leading the people. And look at kids, like tough parents create good kids, right? Weak parents create bad kids, on average. And the difference between the two is leadership, right? Like if you want to be a great leader, then you are not out there to make friends. If you create friends, awesome. But you don't wake up and say, I'm going to go make a bunch of friends today. Same thing with parents. Like parents need to lead their children, lead families. You're not there to be their son's buddy. Right? That's not what the son also needs. Guess what? There's tons of kids out there that they can be friends with. Go have buddies your own age. Right? You're the father. You are the leader. You're supposed to lead, and it's going to be tough. You have to know how to say no. So all of that is my answer.
I think everyone today is sort of walking on eggshells because they're afraid to get in trouble. For whatever reason that is, I think it is absolutely pathetic. But I had a wise person once tell me, he's like, so Jay, everyone's a leader. You can either choose to be a good one or you can be a bad one. Which one are you going to be? And I thought about that for quite some time. And I'm like, well, I want to be a good leader, but what does that actually look like in one's life? You know, you think we're doing all the right things, you know, we're sharing our story in the hopes that it might help somebody, you know, become better and improve. And I think that's what life's really about, is that pushing forward. And I have a saying, Ryan, it's my actual philosophy, be persistent to remain consistent at the things that you want. And for me, consistency is the flow-on effect of being persistent. And yeah. If I have that persistent mindset that, I can do this, no matter what the obstacle comes in my way, I can push through that. If it's bad leadership, so be it. I can push through that too. And here's how I can do it. And it's going back to that core principle of why I want to be a good leader in the first place, because there's not many of them out there these days, as sad as that is to actually say. And you're completely right. You know, I'm not a huge fan of politics or anything like that, but I do understand how it makes such a big difference in the lives of so many people around the world, and how it impacts the economy. How, like, that's the thing. If you're not a good leader, then it doesn't just affect you, it affects others. And the thing is, I think it takes courage to become a good leader, because oftentimes you're going to be pushed down by the majority of people. I think that's what we're seeing a lot in America.
Yeah. And listen, and my dad taught me this too, like, whether you're leading a team of one or 1 million or 350 million, you lead by example.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want people to work hard, you have to work hard, and you need them to see that, to say, wow, one day I want to grow up to be him or her. And she works really, really hard. And so that way, when you tell people you need to work hard, you're showing them how to do it. You're not just telling them, right? You show. Leading by example is really, really important. I think you can ask anybody that works with me, anyone who has ever worked for me, you know, the one thing that they will tell you, no matter what, is I don't know the most people. I'm not the most connected. I'm not even from New York. I'm not the smartest. Sometimes I say the wrong thing. But I will outwork you until the day you die. I work 7 days a week, right? I'm up at 4 a.m. Like, I'm addicted to this job, and I'm addicted to the career, and I'm addicted to the growth. And when you are sleeping, when you are resting, I'm coming for your business. And do not complain until you meet me there, until you match me. And if you can match me, then by all means, right? Then we're on an even playing field. But other than that, like, that's been something I can control. And, you know, one of my other favorite quotes is, like, if you take care of the work takes care of you. And that way you don't focus on money. Right? You don't focus on money. You don't focus on titles. You don't focus on any of that. You just focus on the work. If you do the work, by default, work's going to take care of you. And if you do it well, you do it great. Using your word, the work will greatly take care of you.
And having an excellent mindset in the work as well. It doesn't have to, like, you can focus on being great as well, but my second philosophy is just being excellent. And that's what happened to you in the very beginning. I'm excellent.
don't stress out, okay? I feel like, you know, you want to be great and excellent all day long. You just, like, focus on being the best you possibly can be. That's really important. I talk to a lot of people too who are overly anxious about trying to be something, when you just try to be the best version that you can possibly be and put in the work. And it's a bit healthier. I don't want you to freak out that you didn't have an excellent day.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Do you even?
Do you even sell? Do you even have an excellent day? Dude, two more questions for you, if you don't mind. I know I'm probably going over time, but this is my all-time favorite question that I love asking people at the end. So this is my legacy question. You've been able to reach the age of 100, and your friends have put together a film for you of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done. Then ask me how in the world they got it. We'll just call it magic. But they've been able to get it and show it to you on your 100th birthday. What do you want that film to say and to show about your life?
Oh, my God. It'll be super embarrassing and really ridiculous. And I don't know. I just want it to be funny and entertaining. You know, and somebody who worked really hard and then figured out a way to give back as much as possible. And helped others. Like, I, you know, even with, you know, the company, right? Like, I get the most joy out of seeing the agents that I work with make more money, increase their lifestyles, go buy their first apartments, buy their homes, like, you know, get a nicer car, get a better wardrobe. Like, if I can show them how to lead the lifestyle that they want to, then, like, that makes me feel great. And the more people that I can do that for, the better, which is another reason we set up the course, right? The sales course, the Sell It Like Sirhan course, is hugely popular. And it's been a big part of our business in the last year since we set it up. And it's just that for people that I can't physically be with. And how do we, you know, how do I help other salespeople around the world get to that sales career level of success and greatness and leadership that they otherwise might not have been able to get to by being, you know, by listening to the ways that I did it. So maybe that video wouldn't just be me. Maybe it would be all the people that, you know, have somehow used what I put out there to benefit their lifestyle. And that would be cool to see.
Mm, love it, man. My final question for you is more of a fun one, but what is the weirdest food combination you've ever tried?
What? What's the weirdest food combination I've ever tried?
Weirdest food combination.
Probably when I was in Australia. I don't know. There are some animals I didn't even know existed that you guys eat. That is like...
kangaroo?
Yeah, probably kangaroo or something. I don't know. To be honest, man, I'm a pretty simple eater. I don't even... the food I eat all day long, it gets delivered to me every single morning and I just eat what's in the box. That way I don't have to think about it. And it's simple. It's like simple chicken, simple beef, simple greens, eggs, like super simple. I don't really get too crazy. Food has never really been that important to me that way. Mm. And yeah, so I would say kangaroo in Australia, by far the weirdest thing I've ever eaten.
I have to say it's pretty bad in my opinion. But yeah. Ryan, man, thank you so much for your time, your energy, your kindness, and most importantly, your story. Wish I had more time to unbox a little bit more, but thank you so much for coming on the Storybox podcast. Where can people find you and connect with you?
At Ryan Serhant everywhere. The brokerage is serhant.com. My personal website is ryanserhant.com. That's where you can also find the course, all the information, all the books. And then my new book, Big Money Energy. I finished it not too long ago. The manuscript went in yesterday. Finally, and it comes out January 21st, but pre-orders are available now. And it's kind of all about what you're talking about now. Like it's my blueprint for a confidence mindset. And it's how to be confident when you're not. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. And I can give anyone the tools to be successful, right? And to use your word, to be, to win, right? To reach their achievements. But to do it as if you already have the win in your pocket, that takes skill, but you can teach it, right? You can learn it. There's a way to do it, and that's Big Money Energy, and you can pre-order it at bigmoneyenergy.com.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the Storybox podcast.
Thanks, man. Enjoy tomorrow.
I really don't like this part because it means that sadly we have come to an end of yet another story. I just want to say thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to our guest today. It is my prayer that you would have felt inspired, motivated, challenged in some way, and that you would have learned something new as well. If you would like to hear more amazing stories like this one, you can do so now by searching up the Storybox on all podcast platforms. It is that easy. And if you did get something from today's guest, please do share it around with your friend or family member who you feel could benefit from hearing today's story. And before you go, I greatly appreciate it if you could spend 30 seconds leaving a rating review over on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way to reaching more people and building this community of the Storybox. Let's start changing lives through powerful stories like this one you heard today. Your support is always greatly appreciated. Until next time, when we dive back into the Storybox, I'm Jay Phantom. And don't forget, your story is worth more than you know. I'll catch you then.